Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. All right, this week on Home But Not Alone, we are following up last week's topic of our favorite Catholic books, and we're going to talk about our favorite parenting books. And again, I have a whole nother stack of things to talk about, and I think Tim's got a few suggestions too. So, hey, Tim.
Hey, I got a flimsy little note card. But you know what? Hey, I thought of something recently. So as an adult, I am consistently seeing Disney movies in a different light. And I was watching Beauty and the Beast, the old animated Beauty and the Beast recently. And I have to say, the people in Belle's Village are terrible people. Like, that is such a toxic environment. Like, Belle sitting there like, I read books from the library every day. And they're like, ugh, she's so weird. She reads books. And then it's like, her father's the inventor, and they're like, oh, science? What's this? Like, it's very odd. And yet, when Gaston shows up, they're all like, look at his muscles and his ability to spit far. That's a guy, right? And it's like, what is the matter with these people? So anyway, I'm just realizing that, yeah, that little town, that little quiet village, all right, it needs to make some changes. It is a little, I don't know. I wouldn't get along with those people. I'd be like, stop it. Just stop it. Anyway.
You would want to run away and find a castle in the woods, too.
Yeah. And I get it. Reading's hard. Okay. Like, I prefer audiobooks. I just do. That's, you know.
Well, that's why you have a little card and I have a stack of books.
Exactly it. I wrote them down. I wrote down what I'm going to, anyway. But the, yeah, I prefer audiobooks, so I get that reading can be difficult, and the ability to sit still and focus, and the all kinds of, and there's lots of words to them anyway. But yeah,
I like that you're saying that, because this was something I wanted to bring up. As parents, we're busy running around after kids in constantly. You all know that this is our life. Sometimes we don't have the time to sit down and read these books, even if it's on important things like parenting. So I actually really wanted to start off this episode by saying, you don't have to read parenting books to be a good parent.
No.
Okay. So that's not why we're bringing up these topics and these books. Maybe we read some, maybe we listen to some we thought we'd share. But I do want to say, I mean, people have been parenting for plenty of years where, you know, people were illiterate. I'm sure they were still good parents. Like, it's okay. It's fine. And really, what we need most of all is the grace of God to be good parents. And for me, one of the things that helps me by reading, like reading parenting books helps me do, is feel more confident in my abilities to parent, like my decisions in my parenting. It makes me feel better about what I'm doing, like what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to figure out. And that's why I like to read parenting books. But if it makes you feel like I'm so bad at parenting and I can't do anything right, then you shouldn't be reading them. So I thought we'd, you know, share our examples, our favorite parenting books, and you can take it or leave it.
Well, I think we also have to be careful not to look at, say, a parenting book and think that it's going to just drop a pencil and think that some parenting book is going to give us this like ABC formula for structuring the perfect child or having the exact perfect parenting. I like to give, whenever I meet somebody who's having their first kid, I like to give them 2 pieces of advice, one of which is that a pediatric nurse once told her husband, if you're worried you're going to break the child, you're not going to break the child. Watch those nurses right after that baby's born. They are pulling and poking and prodding, and the baby is fine. The other piece of advice is that you tend to hear 2 different things when you're having your first child. One is, here is the exact, perfect, precise way to potty train or to, you know, deal with sleeping or to deal with this, blah, blah, blah. Yet you also hear, oh, every child is unique, which means those 2 cannot go hand in hand. So there are many different parenting techniques. There are many different parenting experts. There are many different parenting methods. And it's not just about like, oh, well, what's the Catholic version? Because there's a lot of things you could do in parenting that fall under appropriate Catholic teaching. It's, you know, what works with your personality, the personality of your child. You know, then you have to consider your family dynamic as a whole. So I think we have to be careful when going into things like parenting books or even parenting blogs or anything to make sure that we understand that none of these are going to provide us with an ABC type formula for raising the perfectly structured, no flawed child or anything like that.
Yeah, and I try to avoid like putting myself in a parenting philosophy box, like, okay, I do gentle parenting, I do attachment parenting, I do this or that, because I may pull from a lot of different things. I'm just me. I'm a parent. That's who I am, and that's what I do. But it might be different in every, like, for every kid in every situation, depending on what's going on in our lives. And I just change, you know, some things that I embraced in my parenting years ago, I've changed my opinions and my practices as of now, and that's okay. So, yeah, so just keep that in mind while we're throwing these books at you, that maybe these are helpful resources, but we really don't define our parenting by the books that we're reading. So go ahead.
I enjoy parenting resources in that they challenge me maybe just to give me one other thing to think about, or they challenge me to be reflective upon my own parenting. So I think that they can be useful tools.
Absolutely.
In that.
Anyway. All right. So yeah. I'll go ahead and get started. So the first, I'm going to start with two at a time. So the first two we have are from Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, some of my favorite parenting experts. I like a lot of what they have to say. Again, like, I don't put myself into any box, but I have from them Parenting with Grace and Beyond the Birds and the Bees. Have you heard of either or both of these?
I know I've heard of that second one. I have not read either of them.
Okay.
I've heard of both of these, you know, Greg and Lisa, who write these books, and I know they have a podcast and
radio show. Yeah.
They know lots of stuff.
They're good. So Parenting with Grace, I'll talk about that one first. This was the first parenting book that I read cover to cover to really kind of get a sense of just kids in general, you know, who kids are, what they do developmentally, what they need. And it was really helpful. And now I kind of look back at it as more of a resource. So when my kids, one of my kids just went from like the early elementary to the middle elementary stage. And I started realizing that, okay, he's got different things going on in his life. He's got different needs. He's got different responses to the challenges and the struggles. And I'm doing the same parenting things I was doing with him last year when he was at a different stage in his development. So this book goes through the different stages of development for kids and basically introduces you to what's going on in them, what kind of parenting, you know, they might need, what things they might be struggling with. And I think it's just a good overview just to help remind me and make me be more familiar. Like, where's this attitude coming with? Oh yeah, age of reason. They're starting to be able to make these choices, and sometimes they're not the greatest choices.
Oh yeah, you know what? That makes me think about the fact that I think a lot of people, I know I kind of did this, going into parenting, or people who aren't yet parents, look at parenting as if, okay, yeah, you give your kid your sandwich, you give them the mac and cheese, you tell them it's bedtime and whatever it is, and then you move on. It's like, but there's so much more to it than that, in that, one, a child is constantly changing. Two, each child is, you know, so they're going from stage of development to stage of development. Even though they don't fit perfectly in this, you know, box, they also are a unique soul with a unique personality. And so, I mean, because I remember being in youth ministry thinking, well, yeah, you know, throw goldfish crackers at them, turn on Finding Nemo, and you're good. Like, that works for a lot of the teenagers, because the teenagers don't need help with bathroom stuff, or they don't have the emotional, you know, lack of development that, say, a 2 or a 4 or a 6 year old has compared to, say, a 17 year old. So I think that it's really easy to forget that it's a constant moving target, and that includes an evolution in developmental stages, not necessarily at the exact same point as everybody else, but anyway.
Yeah, and another thing I love about this book is, I mean, it's called Parenting with Grace, so it's from the Catholic perspective. They talk about, really, one of the big, my big takeaways from this book is responding to the events that are happening and to like parenting and discipline challenges instead of reacting. Like that's something I constantly think about. Okay, am I responding to this or am I reacting to it? Am I praying and inviting God's grace into it and meeting the needs of my child, or am I just yelling at everybody because everybody's losing their minds? So I think that this book was really good to kind of incorporate those kinds of things. So the next one by Dr. Greg and Lisa is Beyond the Birds and the Bees. So this raising sexually whole and holy kids. So it's not, they like to say, this is not just about having the talk. This is about like your whole, just like really integrating the idea of Catholic sexuality, you know, helping your child be whole and holy at every stage, you know, helping them know who they are and their identity. And this one's really good. They talk about this stuff a little bit in Parenting with Grace, but this book was really helpful for going beyond that. Like this book kind of made me realize that that myself as a kid, I kind of went from like no knowledge of human sexuality to like, bam, puberty, here's all your information. I was like, whoa, overload, this is scary and freaky. And it's like, you have to give kids an appropriate amount of information at their level, like at the appropriate time. Yeah. So my own kids are still young, but I can teach them that like, oh, a baby is made with a cell from the mom and a cell from the dad. Bam, like that's it, developmentally appropriate. They don't need all the details. So another thing this book stresses is like being your child's authority for these difficult questions, like questions about their sexuality, like answering their questions when they have them in appropriate ways, like for their age, so that when they have the bigger questions, when they need the talk, you're the one they go to instead of going to like their peers or the media, which right now is like a dumpster fire.
Oh my God. This is, first of all, I need to read this book because I haven't, but also almost every point you're bringing up, I've brought up in a talk or an article at some point. So I love that because that helps affirm me and some of the work that I've done. But I mean, I have an article on chasetolove.org where we talk about, and we did an episode about this, which is
yes.
Tips for talking to your kids about sex. And it's not just, anyway, I even have an article coming out.
It's good. Go back and listen to that episode. It was really good.
I have an article coming out on somebody else's site, and I'll post it when I have it. But it's called The Theology of a Child's Body. And it addresses some of this stuff as well. So, you know, anyway, I'm glad to hear somebody much smarter than me is saying some of the same things. That makes me
yeah.
feel.
Yeah, they're really good. And it kind of eliminates that fear. And it just, I don't know, that whole idea of fear and passing on this information to your kids. So that was a really good read for me. And again, another thing that I go back to kind of reference at different ages and stages, like what kind of questions can I anticipate, you know, around this age for my kids. Okay, so I have another two I'm going to tackle together. So these were two Catholic suggestions, and now I have two just like regular old psychology suggestions. So in my hands, I have the Whole Brain Child and the Explosive Child. And these two were first introduced to me when I was going through counseling. And so it was more like I needed these tools to understand what was going on with inside my kids because, you know, I was going through depression and some other issues. And I had a lot of different, you know, stressful things going on in myself that was kind of passing it along to my kids and involving them and sucking them into some of the anxiety and depression. And so the Whole Brain Child was the first one of these that I read. And this was really good because it talks about how your kids, like how their brain works, the different parts of the brain and integrating those parts of the brain. One of the things that I really love that kind of sticks in my mind from this book is it talks about like this river, and it like you imagine that your child's life, they're floating in a boat down the river, and on one side of the river, the shore is called rigidity, and then on the other side, the shore is chaos. And kids need to be like in the middle of that river. You can't be too rigid, and you can't let their life be too chaotic. And I mean, we know this because if we just, I mean, some days I do this, I'm busy working on something and I just kind of let my kids run free. Well, what do? They destroy the house, they end up fighting each other, they have tantrums. Like, we need to steer away from that. Okay, well, then the other side of this is me micromanaging every single second how my kid plays, what they do, and that's not good for them either. So this book talks about like these different aspects of your kid's brain and how to work with their brain. I don't know. I haven't read it in a while, but it was really good. And that was my one big takeaway, is like, oh, keeping these kids, like, I don't know. It was just a really good book. It says 12 revolutionary strategies. It has some different strategies in there. I relied more heavily on those, I think, when I was struggling with my mental health. Like, I need something to do to help my kids manage this. So that one was really good. And then The Explosive Child, this one is a little bit intense. So this book is mainly written for kids who do have pretty big issues. Like, it talks about, you know, kids who run away and kids who have these other serious issues to deal with. Not that those are my kids, but it's also good for dealing with kids in stressful times when some of these issues that maybe your kids don't normally have come out in a big way. And I grabbed this one when we were moving. We moved from Connecticut to New York a couple years ago, and that was really tough on our family. And some of these, like, they'd have these explosive moments. I had these explosive moments. And this book really digs into how to open up conversations with your kids and open up these problem solving, kind of putting problem solving in their hands and helping them feel less powerless through these big things that are going on in their life. So, I mean, my kids sometimes still struggle with the things that are going on with the COVID. So it might be a good time to look into that one if your kids are struggling with some of that stress and anxiety. So that was The Explosive Child. These are like psychology-based, science-based recommendations that have really helped me.
Excellent.
Okay, so I have, the next one I have is one that you have. So Made This Way. So I don't know if you want to talk about that one.
Oh, we can both talk about it if you want. I like, you have the physical copy. I have the audio copy. That's, you know, that's just how it works. But yeah, Made This Way. It's a really good book by Trent Horn, who's an apologist for Catholic Answers, and Layla Miller, who has been doing this kind of ministry for many, many years. Mother, grandmother, and such. Really good speaker and author. And essentially, and Layla reads the audiobook, and she's really good. It's really nice to just listen to her. It's kind of like, yes, Mom, like, she's giving me advice and whatever. Anyway, she's fantastic. I've talked to her a few times via email and such. But she, the two of them, they work together to essentially address how do we raise children in an era when there are a lot of problems in society, there are a lot of lies, and they are specific to these different issues. And they essentially make what they call a natural law case for Catholic teaching. It's really hard to break it down a lot more than that. But I honestly, it's one of the few books that I think every Catholic parent should read. Especially if you have kids, young kids, if all of your kids are grown and out of your house, then maybe not so much. But everyone who is currently raising Catholic children, I would strongly recommend this. I also think that it's helpful for adults just because it helps us as adults better understand what is going on and why the church teaches what it teaches and how to address these issues. So it helps us better prepare. It helps us better understand things, but then we're better prepared to help our children understand things.
Well, when I first saw this book, I thought, my kids are still really young. I don't need this book yet. But somebody passed it along to me, and I was like, well, since I have it in my hands, I guess I'll read it. And it turns out I was like, whoa, I'm glad I read this book like right now to, like you said, prepare me to know what my kids are going to be up against and make sure that they have the tools when they're ready to deal with it. So you would say, like, I mean, our kids are really young. My kids are 9 and under, and your kids are what, 3 and under?
3 and under, yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say that that's like too early to pick up this book.
No. I think that if anything else, you want to prepare, you want to understand so that as these questions begin to come up, as these they begin to encounter different situations, you're not blindsided. Because I think that's one of the mistakes that a lot of people make in parenting or in the faith or in whatever it may be, where we end up getting into something. It's like you said, you went from knowing nothing about sexuality to puberty. And it's like, that's very jarring. And if we don't know something before that, then, well, anyway. So I think that this helps us lay the foundation at different ages. In fact, in the book, it's like, how do you talk to kids about this? How do you talk to, like, a little older? How do you talk to teenagers? So there's different aspects of that, and I find it very helpful.
Well, another thought I had when reading this book was I still have a couple younger brothers who are like in their high school years. And I was reading and I thought, okay, this is good and helpful for me to understand and help my kids. But I think that this book would also be helpful for maybe mature teenagers, maybe kids in high school who have to answer these questions to their peers, who maybe are out in the world or in certain situations where it's like their friends are going to be asking them these questions, and they need to not just be prepared to believe these things, but to give good answers. And I see no reason. I mean, obviously you'd have to read the book and discern for yourself and see whether your kid can handle reading some of the really difficult situations in here. But I thought that it is at least worth considering either giving the book to your kid after you've read it, you know, talking to them through some reading through it with them, or even reading just certain sections, encouraging them to read certain sections, because the kids need to be prepared because they're going to be talking to their friends about this stuff.
Oh, I'm going to plug another book. I'm going to mention another book that I've not read, but that my wife has read. And it's another one of Layla Miller's books, and it's called Raising Chaste Catholic Men. And as she was reading it, I was like, I'm so excited. You're going to read this, and then you're going to let me read it, whatever. And she got to the end, and I was like, so do you think, like, I should read it? And she was like, no, it's not for you. It's for moms. It is really cheap. And I said, well, would it help in the ministry work? She's like, maybe. I don't know, or something like that. So, but it is really written by a mom for moms on raising chaste Catholic men. And all I can say is that my wife loved it. She got a lot out of it, and she thinks that it's going to be beneficial moving forward.
Well, that's good to hear, because that one was on my list. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I want to read that book, but I didn't know whether I should or not. So now I know that I should.
Can you hear nonsense going on outside my window right now?
No, I can't. Can you hear my tropical storm going on outside my window right now?
Okay, good.
Okay. The next book that I wanted to talk about was, I don't have it in my hands. I read it on my Kindle, and I can't find my Kindle right now because I think my children walked away with it. So I'm just going to tell you what it is. The book is called Defending Boyhood, and it's by Anthony Esselin. And I'm going to tell you why I read this, because I had never heard of this Anthony Esselin guy. I think he's kind of a big name in Catholic social media. So I'm sorry if I should have heard of him, but I hadn't. So here's the reason that I picked up this book and read it, though. I had read a book. It was by a Christian author, and the book had been recommended to me, and the author had been recommended to me before, like for a book he wrote for women. But this book had been recommended to me by another Catholic friend, and it was, I don't remember the name. It was called Understanding the Heart of a Man or something, which even just listening to that title, I'm like, do we really understand the heart of a man? Anyways, so I read this book that I don't remember the name. And I was kind of offended by it. And some of the things I agreed with, but some of the things I felt like it was really dismissing the mother. Like, it was saying that a mother is harmful in raising a strong man. Like, it was saying that the child's ties to a mother, it needs to break the ties to a mother. Like, there were a lot of good things in the book, but I really got hung up on how it was kind of dismissing mothers and saying how a mother's influence can be harmful in raising masculine men.
So it didn't turn out so well loving his mother.
Yeah, right. And so I was like, gee, I think I want to find something written on the same topic, like understanding boys and understanding like who they are and how to raise them, but maybe written from the view of a Catholic who I might like trust more with telling me the mother's role in it. So I picked up this Defending Boyhood, and it was different. It was more like a narrative, like little stories, and then it gives you these stories that show an example of what a boy's life is. So it talks about, and this is one of the things I've always been really big on, like healthy risk taking. Like, boys need to climb trees and boys need to jump off of rocks. And it shared these little stories that just kind of illustrated how important such a thing is in a boy's development, like being adventurous and challenging himself and growing and being stronger. But it talked about the mother's role in this. Like, some mothers tend to be overprotective and they tell their boys, be careful, or they hover when they're climbing that tree. And it was less dismissive than the other book. I guess this is what I was trying to say. The other book was like, mothers, bad, tell boys not climb tree. And this book was like, mothers, you have to understand that your boy needs to seek adventure in this way. So encourage him in these healthy ways of risk taking, like climbing trees and jumping off of rocks and exploring the woods. And this is just one example, but the whole book was like this in that it was not dismissive of mothers, but it was encouraging. And it showed like how the attachment to the mother and the boy's love for his mother is important, but also how the boy's independence is important. So it kind of redeemed for me this topic of raising boys and letting boys be adventurous and things like that. So Defending Boyhood, I would check that out. I don't remember everything I read in it, but I remember it was a lot better than that other one. Whatever that is, if I figure it out, I'll tell you, don't read it.
So we're not just telling people what books we think they should read. Here's a whole list of books. Don't read them. Anyway.
I wish I remembered the name so I could tell you what name to not read. But anyways, I have one last book in my hands. This book is called Head and Heart, and it's by Katie Warner. So if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you'll probably see that I share Katie Warner's books a lot. She's been writing a lot of children's books, which are fantastic, like Catholic kids books. Absolutely love them. But she also writes some books for parents too. So this one's called Head and Heart. This one was written so that you can like work on it together as a couple and kind of go through it like a study. And we tried to do that and we didn't really get through the first chapter. So my husband doesn't read parenting books. I was like, oh, we should read this together. And no, he doesn't read parenting books, and that's okay. But I do. So I was like, okay, forget it. I'll read it myself and we'll talk about what's in there. And it was really good. So it talks about how like the husband is the head of the home and the wife is the heart of the home, and it helps you communicate in kind of discovering that role, because that role will look different in every family. And it doesn't like put them into boxes. I was kind of afraid that it would put them into boxes like, man, bring home the bacon, woman, you know, it doesn't. And so it was really good in saying like, you guys got to talk about what this means for you, like the primary disciplinarian, how you go about discipline and how you're going to balance that while the husband is the head of the home and the wife is the heart of the home. So it was just really good. And it opens up a lot of topics for conversation and prayer. Just really, really good. So Head and Heart.
That I want to read, because I think that whole head and heart thing is so often misunderstood. Yeah. And it's used to negate Catholic teaching or, you know, demonize it. It's used in very abusive ways, all sorts of stuff like that. And I'm like, no, like I had some people say to me, I became stay-at-home dad. And they were like, well, you know, head leader of the family or head of the household or blah, blah, blah. And I remember there was another stay-at-home dad, and this was on Facebook, and he just commented, good leaders know how to let other people succeed. And I was like, oh, dang. Oh, that's good. That's, yeah. But that's the thing, is how it actually works from a functional standpoint, it's not in these tiny little boxes. And anyway.
And I mean, this book brings up some examples that might be like the common way that the husband is the head of the home or the wife is the heart of the home. But it's really, really good at the end of each chapter, introducing these questions and saying, now you go and you talk about it and you pray about it. Because I remember one of the chapters, like the one on discipline, it was talking about how like usually the dad is like the primary disciplinarian, you know, like dad lays down the hammer. Dad's the one that, you know, we go to for the big discipline issues. And I remember just talking to my husband about it and being like, hello, I'm home with the kids the entire day. How are you going to be the primary disciplinarian? Like, I'm not going to wait till you come home from work and your job every evening is punishing the kids for what they did wrong. Like, it doesn't make sense in our family. Yeah. And I think that opening up that conversation, this book does it in a way that like helps you accept that instead of be like, we need to change. So it was good.
All right, so I just have a couple of things here. One is, again, I'm starting to think women read these types of books more than men because, one, you've read a bunch I haven't. Your husband doesn't like it. I'm bringing up examples. My next example is something my wife read. I already gave an example of something my wife read. Anyway, I wonder if there's something to that. But my wife is currently reading A Call to Deeper Love, and it's the letters between Lewis Martin and Zelie Martin, Therese of Lisieux's parents, and they're all canonized saints, which, you know, can you imagine being one of the other sisters in that family? Like, mom's canonized, dad's canonized, Therese is canonized. Who am I? Chop liver? Liver? No, I was a lifelong religious sister. Like, come on. Like, no, I'm sure that. My wife has read a lot of stuff in there and then brought it back to me, and I found that hearing what Zelie Martin specifically, because she does most of the writing in that, hearing the things she says about parenting and about her kids, it's helpful and it puts things in perspective. And I think it really, to me, that she'll say something and it's like, oh, you dealt with that almost 200 years ago? I dealt with it 2 hours ago. Like, there's some things, it's not like, oh, parenting has changed that drastically. There are things that have, but there are things that haven't. And the only other one I have on here, we got a whole bunch of serious books we've talked about. There's a book I love by comedian Jim Gaffigan called Dad is Fat. And I love Dad is Fat. It's a comedy book, and it's written, everything Jim writes is co-written with his wife, and they're practicing Catholics. I know I've heard him say about one thing or another where I'm like, okay, so clearly they struggle with certain things in Catholic teaching like a lot of people do, and that's fine. And he jokes a little bit about the church, but never in a degrading way, always in a loving way. I mean, you don't get a guy to open for the Pope if he's, you know, not Catholic. And he did. But, you know, he's got whole sections in there where, like, one of his chapters is called, I think it's just called Six Kids Catholic, because he grew up in a family of six. He has five kids, but he talks somewhat about the faith, but it's a lot about parenting entirely from a comedy standpoint, but it's incredibly relatable. And I think Dad is Fat is worth listening to just to be like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what somebody, you know, somebody else, their comedic take on what we are, most of us are dealing with as parents. So if you get nothing else, that book I think will at least make you feel better about your parenting struggles. Maybe not. I don't know. But was that all you had? That's all I have,
yeah.
All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening or watching. And if you can, if you're watching this, please subscribe to it. If you are listening to this, please subscribe to it. But also go over to our YouTube channel, subscribe to that. Why not? Lots of subscribing to us. I mean, why not? Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusSincerely.com and on Facebook and Instagram at ToJesusSincerely.
And you can find me at ChaseLove.org or on Facebook and Instagram at TheChaseLove. Now, if you're struggling to lose weight, as a lot of us are, what you do is you stand on the scale every day holding a toddler, and then after a week, just put the toddler down. You'll feel like you lost a ton of weight. It'll be a huge psychological lift. And remember, you're never alone.